Okay, it is May 31st, 2024, Sabbath Eve, or Friday night. For those of you that are new to the law of your God, wherein you're seeking the seal of God, which, by the way, I'm working on a track for that, and I just, I mean, I have a Mark of the Beast track, and it's more or less touches on the seal of God a little bit, but I don't know. I mean, I think the Lord's moving me on this to actually make a track out of the Seal of God page on the website, but there's just too much info to fit on a small track. You know, the paper ones that I do, I'm going back to the paper ones again. You know, the long ones, 8.5 by 11 folded. And because it's just so easy to explain now, and I'm thinking it'll help a little bit, because I don't seem to get a good response talking about climate change the last year or so. I mean, some people acknowledge it and say, yeah, they see what we're seeing. But for the most part, I just want to plant seeds. I mean, I know they're not going to believe me when I say it, but I also know they can't unhear it, and that's why I share it. And so, because if they're not going to read their Bibles, I'm going to speak it. Because a lot of people just won't. But eventually they will, if in fact they come to know the Lord. Because the only way to get close to Jesus is to read his word. He's talking to you. That's him speaking. Genesis to Revelation. He's literally the word made flesh. You want to know about Jesus? Read the Bible. It's amazing how he introduces himself too, especially to babes. When they start looking in the Bible and they're serious, where, like say, they do it every single day, the Lord sees that because he's watching each and every one of us. He counts the very hairs on our head. So he's watching each and every one of us. And so when we show a seriousness in understanding his word and getting closer to him, he eventually starts revealing himself in ways. I got to tell you, it shocks every babe when it happens the first time. It's like, I didn't realize God was going to do that or does that and reveals himself in that way. But he does. He does. He does. Sometimes in very gentle ways and sometimes in very bold ways. But either way, he knows exactly what his child will respond to, because he created you. So praise his name for that. He does it in the most loving way possible, too. And he's so patient, long-suffering, waiting on us, you know. But I would rather want to find out earlier, you know, do more work for him, because it's so much. I mean, we can't give him anything but a smile on his face. And that's what I want to, you know, that's what I want to do. So anyway, page 146, the very bottom of the page of SOP volume 2. And it says, Jesus saw a field of labor among the Samaritans. Before him lay the fields of grain, their tender green lit by the golden sunlight. And Fran and I were talking about this the other night, you know, when we were all reading together. And it's just, as we know, the Bible is written by, you know, prophets. But I don't recall, except, of course, when you look in Daniel or Revelation and some of the other, like Ezekiel, he gets into pretty intense descriptions. But the way Sister White prophesies, the way she shows what she sees, and this is what moved a few people in our church family to be part of our number, because of the way, especially those that have read Sister White's writings, when they see the things that we go through, good and bad, they see that it's like she's sitting, it's like Ellen White is sitting in our living room when these things go down. And that's not to say that that's guaranteed proof we are the final church. No, it's by their fruits you shall know them, you know, because anybody can fake doing that, which Scripture says or Ellen White says is going to happen. And a lot of them do. They all get out there and act like they're, you know, the preachers. They get out there and act like they're, they know what they're talking about when none of them do. They deny God. He won't open up his word to them. And so they have to manufacture a theology, as Isaiah said they would. And so, but the way she says this, before him lay the fields of grain, their tender green lit by the golden sunlight. It's like she's sitting there watching all this. And the other night we were going into how Jesus was, in Gethsemane that night, and he almost collapsed a couple times, and the apostles are holding him up as he's going into prayer, and she's describing the whole scene, it's just, she was so blessed to see all that stuff. You know, some of us, myself included, have had our little mini visions, or and not just counting the ones on our beds like Daniel had, because his visions were pretty, you know, descriptive too. So was John. We've had our little mini, you know, open eyes visions, if you will, like. And we only get a few seconds, at least I did, only got a few seconds to look into things, to see things that he's revealing. And it's like you're there. All of a sudden you're transported there and then you snap back kind of a thing. But you see everything. It's like, it literally is like you're there. You could feel the warmth of a fire, let's say. You could smell the dew and see the light flickering on a wall that's wet with dew, that kind of stuff. But it only lasts a few seconds. She went on for years. You know, with all these visions that she had, and it's such a blessing to see this. And some have asked me recently, by the way, and I might even go in a little bit of detail about this. Where was I? I think it was in Revelation 16. Let me go there real quick, because I was asked the question more than once over the years, and I kind of like fumbled with the answer, because it's kind of a, oops, that's not the right book. I fumbled with the answer, and the Lord blessed me with something this morning, as a matter of fact, when I was in study. And I'll tell you what the question is, if I can find it. Here it is. Okay. I'll put this in a room, in fact. I'm just going to put in this one paragraph from Advent Review, Sabbath Herald, that was written by James White, editor. Because the question has come up, because we're talking about prophets right now. And, you know, in regards to Sister White and, of course, the scripture. But the question has come up, will there be prophets in our day? That's what James White says. It's in the room. It's at Advent Review, Sabbath Herald, Page 4, paragraph 13, I guess, December 2nd, 1862. He says, it may be asked how the last generation of the wicked can be said to have shed the blood of the saints and prophets, since the last generation of saints are not to be slain. I'm assuming he's talking about the Gideon band there. But he goes on, because what he says in the end is kind of throw your eyes up. A reference in Matthew, 23, verse 34 and 5, and then 1 John 3, verse 15, will explain. And then you just read it and you'll understand what he means. He says, these scriptures show that guilt attaches to motive no less than to action. In other words, prophets can be slain, with motives in mind. Someone wants to kill you but never gets a chance, or someone literally kills you. In other words, the scriptures show that guilt attaches to motive no less than to action. Like when Jesus said, if you look at a man and you have hate in your heart, you've committed murder in your heart. And that's more or less, old English way of saying it that James White just said. So motive, guilt attaches to both the motive in your mind as well as to the action if you actually kill the guy. And so going on, it says, no generation ever formed a more determined purpose to give the saints to indiscriminate slaughter than the present one will. Not far in the future. Now, he's talking about our day, because he's one of the forefathers, right? And then he says, see chapter 13, verse 17, chapter 12, verse 17, Revelation 12, because he's quoting, he's actually sharing some revelation. I can't remember which chapter. I think it was 16. I got it from here. But he references, obviously, Revelation 12, 17, and, of course, Revelation 13, 15. And then notice what he says here. In motive and purpose, they do shed the blood of saints and prophets. The term prophets shows that the spirit of prophecy will be revived and that there will be prophets in the remnant church. So that answers those questions. That saves me a lot of emails. I might even do a Q&A on that, because, like I said, I do get the questions like that. But that's nice to know. And so we're going to have some, but you got to be careful. By their fruits you shall know them. There's all sorts of people out there now calling themselves prophets. And I don't recall, unless, of course, you think about Samuel, when Saul was looking for him, and Saul literally asked, are you the seer? And he answered, yes, I'm a seer. But ordinarily, a prophet's not going to take not going to step up and declare himself a prophet like they do in the Pentecostal churches and other churches around the world. Because they're seeking self-glory then. That's not how it works. We are, if we are called to prophesy or not, servants of God no matter what. And so anyway, getting back to where, I got stuck on this area with her talking about the golden sunlight, bathing the fields of grain. Because, again, it's like she's just sitting there in that vision. And some of us know exactly what, the dreams. We all have the dreams, obviously. And if you don't think Christians are given prophetic dreams, especially even when it comes to your own life or those around you, read the book of Job. And then when you get to the young guy that finally gets a chance to speak, notice what he says about dreams. So going on, viewing the beautiful scene, he employed it as a symbol. And then she quotes from his word. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the field, for they are white already to harvest. And so she connects that to what she's looking at. The fields are lit up by the sunlight. They're ready for the harvest. The light is bathing them. Look at the prophetic whisper there. Because when we go forth, and if the Lord blesses us with that latter rain, if we are worthy, where we not only fast food every now and then, we fast everything that we shouldn't be doing, he's going to see our seriousness, and he's going to know he can trust us. And then he'll give us these extra blessings, like with the latter rain falling 10 times more powerful on us than it did the apostles. I can't even imagine what kind of miracles that the Lord's going to do through his people when that happens. Because look at the miracles he did through the apostles. I mean, they even raised people from the dead. So going on, he here referred to the gospel field, to the work of Christianity among the poor, despised Samaritans. His hand reached out to gather them into the garner. They were ready for the harvest. The Savior was above all prejudice of nation or people. He was willing to extend the blessings and privileges of the Jews to all who would accept the light which he came to the world to bring. Again, 4 horns on the altar, we know what it means. And so it caused him great joy to behold even one soul reaching out to him from the night of spiritual blindness. That which Jesus had withheld from the Jews and enjoined upon his disciples to keep secret was distinctly opened before the inquiring woman of Samaria. For he who knew all things perceived that she would make a right use of her knowledge and be the means of leading others to the truth faith. He's not going to, I mean, in other words, like I said a minute ago, he watches each and every one of us, and if he knows he can trust us, he can use us during the latter. Well, he knew her heart. He knew that if he shares the truth with her, in fact, calling himself Messiah to her, he didn't do that before. And he knew that she'd run with it, and she would go and tell the people and bring them to him. And that's exactly what happened. He knew that he could trust her, just like he knew he could trust us if we step up to the task. You might as well, since if you think about it, especially those among our number or just listening in, if you think that you've got 40, 50, 60 years to live on the planet and you can run a career and go forth and make all this money and then share your faith with people possibly. No, we don't have 40, 60, 20, 30, 40, 60 years. We don't. The day is very, very close now. Just looking at what they're doing in this nation alone. I mean, the other nations are pretty much locked down where we can't see certain things. Some stuff comes through the internet. A lot more obviously comes through the dark web, but I would advise going there unless, of course, you got super duper virus software or you use a throwaway computer, or not so much a throwaway, but that's what I kind of like to call it, because when they used to mess with me in the early days, you can literally have a computer connecting to the internet, and then you just daisy chain or use like a crossover cable to connect your computer to that and then use the internet from there. And if that computer gets hit and it gets virused out, you can just wipe the hard drive and reset it up again in 5 minutes, 10 minutes tops to reformat the hard drive and rebuild the operating system and give it back on the internet. Just use it like a VPN, what physical, in that way. But still, unless you don't, because things can jump over networks. I've seen that happen, so you still got to be careful there. But again, I would advise going on the dark web because it's just mostly sin glorified. That's all it is. I've never been there, never planned to be. And it's just, I don't see the interest in it, but some people do. So, I mean, it's mostly bad stuff, you know, very, very sinful stuff. So going on, it was not merely the fact that Jesus told her, you know, concerning the secrets of her life, which inspired the confidence of this woman in him, but it was also his look and his solemn words that reached her soul and convinced her that he was a superior being. Think about that. And I've been praying about that in my own way, because when I was young, I burned a furrowed brow into my forehead. And what I mean by that is, you know, is it's just the way, you know, the kind of guys that I used to hang with and stuff like that. You wanted to act and look tough. And so you kind of, you know, you have a scowl. And when I was very, very young, you know, like 10, 11 or 12 even. And it just stuck with me. And now I seek after the more gentle look. I want to be that soft-spoken man that the Lord can use, you know. And he's been working on me for decades in that respect, right? But it does matter what you look like. You come up to somebody with a scowl on your face, they're not going to want to talk to you. They're not even going to want to look at you. They'll just look down when you come walking up. But if you present yourself in a loving way, that affects people too, especially in today's world. And that's another reason to get out of the cities. I can remember when we lived up in the cities and we had friends everywhere, and you could literally be walking into a grocery store or some other kind of store, and you see a friend from high school, and you see them, and you want to walk up to them and say hello, and you start heading towards them. They look down and walk away and act like they didn't even see you. No one wants to talk. You know, out here in the middle of nowhere, they wave at you when you're driving by. I'm not kidding. Especially if you're in a pickup truck. All the farmers wave at each other, even though they don't know who it is. They see a pickup truck come and they wave. It's just they're much more friendly out here. And it works. To our advantage, we can walk up and share our faith. So appearance has some, you know, it's not the key. But the point she's making here is that Jesus wasn't like anybody else at that time. Hence the reason Peter swore at one time when he got exposed three times for being a follower of Christ. Because everybody that followed Christ had a different demeanor. They had no swear words. Because back then it was verbal sewage just like it is today. I mean, seriously, you literally, say, Sirius Radio. Every time you buy a new car, it's free in your car for, what, 30 days or 6 months or something like that, to, you know. And then they say it's like 10 or 20 or 30 bucks a month. I don't even know how much it is. You're going to pay them 20 bucks a month just so you can hear somebody say the F word? How ridiculous is that? But still, even the regular broadcasts and stuff like that, and then you go to like Fox News or you go to CNN or MSNBC and any of these other like websites looking for news sources. I don't like CNN or MSNBC. They're not very reliable. They're just liars. But I only bring this up to make a point in regards to sometimes they will allow swear words to come up. And it's nobody raises eyebrows. It's a different world from when I was a young man. It's a different world from 20 years ago. It's just so dramatically different. It's literally, like Sister White said, it's happening fast, very fast. Satan is literally, you know, cultivating his troops for Plague 6, the end of it. So it goes on. She says, at the same time, the Samaritan woman, at the same time, she felt that, hold on a second. This is, okay, you got to move that wire up. It just keeps on falling. Oh, because it gets all tangled up otherwise. Okay, so at the same time, she felt that he was her friend, pitying and loving her. Again, it's like Ellen White is sitting there. This is the character of the world's Redeemer. While he condemned her life of sin, he directed her to his divine grace as the sure and perfect remedy. Now, compare that to that preacher I saw years ago on YouTube. Because everybody knows I like to go look for street preachers and on YouTube. And just to see if there's anybody out there that believes what we do. And so far, no. But if, like Jesus knew this woman's heart. I mean, come on. He knew all about her, quote-unquote, husbands and how her life was. She was very promiscuous. And yet, he showed love. And he showed a way to get out of that kind of mess, if you will. But when I saw that preacher and that young girl, that young boy, well, okay, they were in their late teens, let's say 18 or 19. She was dressed to the nines, you know, mini skirt, low cut, the whole nine yards, covered in makeup. And he's, you know, got the wife beater T-shirt on. He's got his arm around her. And the preacher literally calls the young boy, you know, the 18-year-old kid, he calls him a whoremonger, and he calls his girlfriend a whore. That was not Jesus speaking through that preacher. That was Satan. Satan wanted to stamp out that ember of faith because they came up with a good question. And he just stamped out that ember of faith, that little ember of faith. And he's going to be held accountable for that, just like the Pharisees of old. Jesus even talked about it, how they would stamp out that little ember of faith. Amen to that. Testimonies, Volume 9, page 11, paragraph 2, with Brother Elvin just put in the room there. Great changes are soon to take place in our world, and the final movements will be rapid ones. I mean, look at what they just did yesterday. They convicted, supposedly, Trump. And here's another thing. And Trump's no Christian. This is all a setup. This is all designed to make him look like the people's president. Everybody's going to, you know. In fact, he broke a, well, he didn't break a record, but the people that started donating to him started donating so much, the website to donate to him crashed. And these are $5, $10, $20, maybe $100 donations. And he broke a record. And this was hours ago. I don't know what the record is now, but it was even before the 24 hours over, almost $35 million came in when he got convicted, showing that he's a shoo-in, right? And his appeal will never happen before the election. There's not enough time. So they only did this so that they can declare, that, you know, the left can declare him to be a felon. And he didn't get the understanding of what he was charged with until after he was convicted. That's against law. That is what Sister White prophesied about. How so? They destroyed the Constitution. All of us are open game now. What they did to Trump, they can now do to anybody. If they do this to the president, even though I don't approve of this man's lifestyle, and yeah, amen. And what they did with COVID, that was a pandemic to set up everything. That's why I made that one track, Vax to the Mark, or Mask, no wait, Vax to Mask to Mark. And I think I shortened it to just Vax to Mark on these little tracks I made. It was all set up they could have the infrastructure. And now that they're removing the Constitution, as if Sister White prophesied they would, I have it on my Was She a Prophet page, and I keep updating that. Now it's almost weekly, every time there's a new article coming showing that, yeah, they've destroyed the U.S. Constitution. I mean, they've ripped it up when Obama was in, the, you know, he wasn't even American. He wasn't born in America. He's not even a Christian, he's a Muslim and a homosexual. But that, of course, was all hidden, but not all the way, because the majority of the people don't care. It's the age of lying. And so, everything's going to be a lot more rapid in the coming days. I'm just hoping that we can meet at least one more time for a camp meeting. And yes, we have set the date. So be in church tomorrow. I'm going to announce the date. So going on, she says, the pitying love of the Savior is not confined to sect or party. Yeah, of course, because he created everybody. But mankind made the sect, you know, the sects or parties. And so it's just what, yeah. In fact, if you go back just, I think, 20 years, when I first started getting online, I don't know, I think it was more than 20 years ago, but I was showing how the Pope was going around, and John Paul II did this, went from nation to nation to nation to nation to set up an infrastructure inside each constitution, where every constitution, every country that he visited, they changed their constitutions, every one of them, so as they have an open door to do what they just did to Trump. But now that they did it to an official, making it look like even the common man can get destroyed because it was all falderal, they'll use that against us. But again, this was prophesied. We don't have to worry about this. This will get us in courtrooms, though. Yeah, for some that might be a little scary. For those of us that were in courtrooms a lot when we were younger, not so scary. But it's our opportunity to share, because the judge may have never heard what we're declaring this, you know, what we're about to declare. And remember what the Lord said: don't think about what you're going to say. Just let the Holy Spirit take your tongue when you step into that courtroom. or they drag you in, whatever the case may be, because you might end up going in there with cuffs. You know, odds are that's how it'll be. They'll just arrest you, throw you behind bars, and then drag you in front of a judge every morning for eye bond or whatever. And you'll have an opportunity to speak, and you will speak. And maybe the judge is not the one you're there to talk to. Maybe the prosecuting attorney is, the defending attorney, or the public defender, the jury, or even the stenographer standing, you know, or sitting there, you know, taking all the notes. Somebody in that courtroom needs to hear what you have to say, and he's going to give you the words. Don't rehearse it, because that'll mess it all up. You're going to think, oh, I'm going to say this, I'm going to say that. No, you're not. Seriously. Especially for those of us that have ever written sermons before, you know what happens. You got the sermon all ready. You're going to preach it on Sabbath. Friday night you go to bed. 4 o'clock in the morning, he wakes you up and gives you a whole new sermon within 20 minutes. And so, yeah, just let him have the reins on that, okay, because some of us will end up behind bars. And it ain't really that scary, because you're going to be in there with an angel. So, going on. As the woman of Samaria hastened back to her friends, publishing as she went the wonderful news, many left the highway and the town to go and ascertain if she indeed spoke the truth. Numbers of citizens left their employments and hastened to Jacob's well to see and hear this remarkable man, you know, Jesus. They surrounded Jesus and listened attentively to his instruction. Now, when I read that, I think about our duty in heaven for all eternity when we go visit those other worlds that Paul talks about. And Sister White was in vision on one of them, right? So we know. I mean, seriously, how conceited is mankind to think that when you look up and we're just in a little tiny little speck in the seventh spiral of our particular galaxy, you know, the Milky Way, and that's just one of trillions upon trillions of galaxies that we know about. And then thanks to the James Webb telescope that proved the Big Bang was a lie that was actually invented by a Roman Catholic priest, there's trillions of galaxies even beyond that, proving their date for evolution is dead wrong, because they say, well, behind a specific date, James Webb won't find anything because they haven't been structured yet, because it's too far back in time because of light years and how they travel. But yet they found fully structured galaxies and, you know, solar systems. I mean, it's just like it is here. It's just literally drenched. Our God truly is a creator, right? And so we're going to go travel around. And imagine when we're sitting down one day out in a nice little beautiful grove of cherry trees and apple trees and pear trees and stuff like that, with butterflies landing on us. Not a single mosquito to bite, because even Dr. Caravaggio shows the mosquito didn't have to bite anybody before the flood of Noah. Mosquito was directed to go to humans to get the blood from our bodies to get the oxygen for their little eggs. In a pre-flood world, you got a dual atmosphere. You don't need to get any more oxygen. It's in you. All right. And so, yeah, there's not going to be any problems with the insects, right? So we're out there just sitting around in these other worlds, and, you know, like I always say, I sometimes drift off to sleep thinking of flying over to one world for the week. Because I know I'm going to go back to the city for Sabbath. Every Sabbath, I'm going to be in the city listening to Jesus preach. And so you go, and you go fly someplace, but you go at the speed of thought, so you can go anywhere. Doesn't matter how far away it is. You don't need a warp drive, okay? You're there. And I always want to arrive about a mile or two outside of a small village. You know, where all the houses are adobe, kind of like the way a robin builds her nest, where it's biodegradable and just, you know, yeah, that's how the world, you know, yeah, that's how it should be. There's no waste and stuff like that. And so, and it's not like the houses are going to fall apart. You know, we have a little bit more ability than a robin does with some mud and hay. So, but anyway, you're going to the village, and you just sit down and just share Christ. And the people will just sit there and listen attentively to our instruction, just as they do to Jesus. He is our example. Man working with God, perfect, the divine nature. That's where we're headed if we let him have the reins of our life, if we let him take over and change things internally and externally. He is such an amazing God. So going on, it says they plied him with questions and eagerly received his explanation of matters that had perplexed their understandings. They were like a people in great darkness, tracing up a sudden ray that had pierced their gloom. and which they were eager to follow to its source, that they might bask in the light and warmth of day. Truth is that attractive to those who are seeking it. I remember when I was a babe looking for Christ, 18 months trying to clean up my act. It wasn't until I just threw up my hands and says, okay, I can't handle this. You take it from here on. And I did it, and I was telling him in such a way that he obviously knew I was serious, because that's when I had my experience with him, my very first time. And he really does introduce himself to his people. And even if he doesn't do it right away, he will eventually. You know, some of us, it could take a few weeks or a few months. It doesn't matter. He eventually, and see, that's where the patience comes in, because that's part of the test too. Like sometimes you pray a prayer and it could take anywhere from 5 seconds to 5 months to get the answer. The period between the time you asked him and the time he answered you is part of the prayer. It's part of the reason for the way he answers it. And he usually answers out of left field, because we can only go so far with our finite minds. His mind is infinite. He can come up, seriously, some of the ways that he answers prayer, it's like, never saw that one coming, Lord. You know, like the left out of left field kind of an answer. He says, man, I never thought that would be the best way to handle that. Hence the reason for reading Genesis to Revelation. We see all sorts of ways. I mean, we can get our prayers answered just by going into the Bible and see, well, I know Jacob had an issue here in this area, or Job had to deal with this, or even Ruth. I look at, you know, in all the Bible, you know, and like someone's going through a similar situation that I'm going through, and you look at the Bible and see how the Lord revealed to them the best way to handle it, and bam, it's the way to do it. Okay. I have no idea what that is. Different language. Is that Tagalog that you just put in the room there, bro? So anyway, going on, it says the Samaritans were attracted and interested by the teachings of Jesus, but they were not satisfied with this short conference. They were anxious to hear more and to have their fellow citizens also listen to this wonderful teacher. And some people say, oh, okay, that's 2,000 years ago. People were a lot more religious back then. Yeah, really? Okay, fine. They're out there now, too. I'm living proof. You're living proof. How many of us have watched other Christians to see Jesus in them? A lot of people don't realize sometimes the only Bible people read are the Christians they're watching. There are people out there seeking Christ. If they weren't, why is the Lord giving you utterance? Why is the Lord giving you an understanding of things that philosophers and theologians have no clue? Our kids, our own children, know more about truth, real truth, biblical jurisprudence. Our children know more about God's will and truth than theologians do today, because none of them obey him, and he's not going to give them an understanding of doctrine or prophecy. Even though they come up with all these theological books and write, you know, literal, you know, a series of books about Bible, it's just all falderal. None of it makes any sense biblically. So going on, it says, they begged him to tarry with them and instruct them. For 2 days he remained in Samaria, teaching the people. Many believed on him and accepted his words. Jesus was a Jew, yet he mingled freely with these Samaritans, setting at naught the custom and bigotry of his nation. You know, because they called them dogs. They didn't want nothing to do with them. And it's all because of the temple thing, the two temples, the one in Gerizim or whatever, right nearby there, that was eventually destroyed because, the Jews just looked down on them. The Jews were actually the very first racists, and still are. They still are racists in a very, very big way. And that spread wild all throughout the entire world, especially here in America. And so she goes on to say that he had already... And I'm not saying all Jews are like that. You know, a lot of Jews are on the verge of accepting Christ as Savior. There's a lot of Messianic Jews. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine, I haven't talked to him in a while, but every now and then. But those of you that have been around for decades, you know a man named Bilzer. And that was his name back in the fire talk days. He contacts me every now and then. He's Messianic. He's a Messianic Jew. And he's very well read. And he's very blessed in intelligence. And every now and then, he'll contact me and... share some article or some thought that the Lord gave them regarding something he saw, or just ask a question, kind of a thing. He's so blessed, and I miss him. I mean, because him and I, we did a lot of work together back in the fire talk days. He was always right there. But the Lord called him to go and do something else, and he's bringing him in his own way. And so going on, she says, he had already commenced to break down the partition wall between Jew and Gentile and preach salvation to the world. These Samaritan listeners were in darkness and superstition, but they were not contented with their condition. And the words of Jesus relieved. Sorry. Somebody just drove by kind of quick. But they were not contented with their condition, and the words of Jesus relieved them of many doubts and uncertainties that had harassed their minds. And I look at Catholics with the same way. You know, the young Catholics especially. The older ones, they're kind of hard, you know, you got to chip away a lot of dross before you can get them to, you know, I mean, you could even open a Bible and point to a Bible verse, they'll turn their head. They're not going to want to see it. And especially foreign Catholics, like the Catholics in the Philippines and the Catholics in Mexico, they're devout in a good way, though, to the point where if someone shows them proof that the Pope is Antichrist, the Pope is doing everything he can to get them to join him in hellfire, and you show them proof that is easy to understand, just give them the basic realities of truth, let them do the thinking on their own, don't try to browbeat them or talk down to them, let them see it the way it's written. And it's just amazing how they respond so well. But Americans, yeah, they're a hard case, especially Catholic Americans. They're very difficult because a lot of people in this country are set in their ways. They're not open-minded in any way. But they'll declare you got to be open-minded. And that's where homosexuality comes in, Satanism and all these denominations or whatever. And so, but yeah, everybody just needs to get back to primitive godliness, if they would all. As a matter of fact, I did a sermon series called Primitive Godliness many years ago. Still on the side, it's in the sermon page. So going on, she says, many who had come from curiosity to see and hear this remarkable person were convicted of the truth of his teachings and acknowledged him as their Savior. Eagerly, they listened to the words he spoke in reference to the kingdom of God. And that's why some of us can't wait to get up in the morning and open up the Bible. It's so fun to do it sometimes. It's like you're sitting on the edge of your seat, especially if you quit watching Hollywood movies. And my thing back in the day was shoot 'em up, bang 'em up movies and stuff. But that got old quick, praise God. But you get all that stuff out of your mind. It always reminds me of Elisha, or Elisha, as some call him, asking for a minstrel before he would give the answer to, Jehoshaphat, when he was asking about what would the Lord have us do regarding this battle we're about to go to. And he says, well, I can't even go to the Lord and try to, you know, pray at this point until you send me a minstrel, because all the crud I just looked at, I wanted out of my mind. And he wanted some, you know, beautiful music. And this is why a lot of times you'll hear me, well, if anybody that lives near me knows, when you come into my office, more often than not, I have the WTPR Live music that plays on all week long. I usually have it running because of the crud I got to go through when I'm looking on online for articles to try to warn the brethren in regards to what's going on out there. And, of course, the bad emails and phone calls. But they're not always so bad. Oh, I forgot. Somebody did text me here a moment ago. Let me see if it's... Okay. All right. So, they eagerly listened to the words spoken in reference to the kingdom of God. Eagerly. And if you're having a hard time getting there where it would be, just ask him. Remember the one guy that says, you know, Lord Jesus, help me in my unbelief? Ask Jesus to help you. And like when you're, give me joy. I've done that. You know, let me have joy and happiness when I read your word. Let it excite me. I mean, I'll read it regardless if you do or don't. But let it, and boy, it's like cliffhangers. And that's why I said, if you stop watching all the movies, the most exciting things that anybody could ever read before movies were invented was scripture. Because these stories are true. This stuff that went down in the scriptures. And that's why they got barbed wires around that one area in Iraq where Moses and, you know, they had that big trail there with the, or like a trough looking thing, but it's actually a big place for the cattle to walk through, you know, for the sacrifices, and the altar was there, and then all the carvings on the rocks, and then that one rock that was massive that had that split where the water came out of a flint rock, the driest rock on the planet, that's so dry it sparks. They use it in lighters to this day. It's so dry, right? Water came gushing out of that, and so you could see the water, smooth marks on the rock and all. So they covered it all up in barbed wire. And that's why you also see 12-foot fences with barbed wire on top, or razor wire, actually. And then you see, like in all the Bibles when they got those maps. Those maps are bogus. Okay, but that's one thing I'll give Ron Wyatt, even though he was a false teacher and a false prophet, and he's dangerous, and I got a website page exposing him. One thing I do, and he should have just stayed where he was called. You know, go look for these things that have been hidden by man and by God and reveal it to the people. Stop trying to preach theology. It's kind of like Dr. Kyle Boss trying to preach every now and then, talking Trinity and stuff. No. Stay on your lane. Just don't be going in areas you weren't called to be, because you're going to confuse people. And then, of course, that's how the devil does it. But there's this, like the thing with the Red Sea crossing. It's in a totally different place in the Bible maps. But it was just proven by Ron Wyatt and others. They found the shelf that was where the Jews, where the water was split, and there was a shelf where they walked across. And the reason it's called the shelf is because on either side there were these caverns, these deep ravines filled with water. And that's where they found chariot wheels and all this stuff when the water landed on all the Pharaoh's men and they were killed. All their weapons and their chariots fell down in those troughs and or those ravines, and they found them. And they're still down there. They literally got pictures and everything. And Noah's Ark sticking out of the side of Mount Ararat, especially if you had a warm winter, it's sticking way out. You can see the rooms and everything. But again, you can't go up to that mountain without getting shot by a Muslim, because it proves the Bible's true. Just like all the prophecies that are happening. This is why they're saying climate change and all this, and it has nothing to do with climate change. All that's happening in this world right now, especially when it comes to nature, is final signs of Christ's return. But they want to get everybody to believe something else, because Satan doesn't want them to be ready, because he knows the mark is about, well, the loud cry is about to fall, and which will expose the mark. A lot of people are going to be blessed and come out of that foggy brain thought where, you know, they're going to all see it. So, amen. Yeah, Ramoth and Gilead, amen to that. So, going on, it says, I just noticed the clock here. Man, time flies when you're having fun. Okay, we'll finish this paragraph, because I just noticed the next one starts a new topic. And we could go on and finish. No, it's two pages. And you know how, yeah, two pages for me could be 30 minutes. So anyway, going on, it says, eagerly they listened to the words he spoke in reference to the kingdom of God. In their new joy, they said unto the woman, and this is of course from the scripture, it says, now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. He did so. They heard it and they saw it for themselves. But in today's world, they got all these different denominations, and the theology is wasted. And I just realized I never put the book in the audio or in the video chat, and I apologize for that. I just completely forgot. I'm still trying to get everything normalized here, because we had this big meeting, and you know, it threw my routine way off. But that is a good thing, though, what happened. It was just such, every day was like, man, oh man, praise the Lord. So, but I can't wait to pick this up again next week. So it'll be at Christ at the very beginning of his ministry, and then we'll just go on from there. Yeah, okay, it's definitely a whole new topic. It's going to be page 149. So we only did two pages and 45 minutes. And so that's why I say, if I go another two pages, we'll be here till 10. And so, three pages. Yeah, we started on 40. Well, actually, the bottom of 146. So we only did two pages. Two and a quarter, maybe. So page 149 is where we'll pick it up next week. And let me get this set so that I can save it. Okay, if you can kneel, we'll end in prayer. Please bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you so very, very much for your word. Thank you for making it a joy for us. And Father, a special request. please bless this church family. Please bless them with dreams and visions. Please bless them. Let them see your hand move, as you have shown so many in this church family already. Please bless them with joy when they open your word, and excitement, and better focus and retention. Because in today's world, everything from food additives to chemtrails, they're doing everything they can to mess up our memories. And so thank you for healing your children, your son's bride. Heal us all from these foggy memories that the enemy of souls has pushed on everybody. Please bless us with eyes that see even clearer. Please bless us with the light of rain, Father, when that day comes. But most of all, thank you for blessing us with salvation. Because now we have no fear, no anxiety, nothing. Doesn't matter what man does. Even if they kill us, we know we're getting up again, and then we'll never die. And dying is just like falling asleep every night. Everybody does it every day, or night, rather. But still, thank you, Father. Thank you for all these blessings. And Father, there's many babes in the church, too. You're sending new ones every day, it seems, or every week. And so bless them, too, Father. Let them see your hand move. Let them experience the joy that all of us have in Christ, that perfect peace. And that's why Jesus said, be ye not afraid, when he said he gives us a perfect peace. Not as the world give it, he gives, but the perfect peace that he gives makes us unafraid of anything. There's no fear. So thank you, Father, for all these things and for hearing our prayers, because we know you hear them. You wouldn't lie. You're not a man that you should lie. That's what your Bible says. And we trust it. Genesis to Revelation, we trust it in all the SOP. And so thank you, Father, for all these things in the name of your precious Son, who is forever our King for all eternity, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen.